Welcome to the Story Worthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finn.
Welcome to Story Worthy. I am Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, and we're coming to you from the Goodwill Donation Center in Los Feliz, California.
Well, there is a Goodwill right down the street.
I know, and it's
Hannes.
Really good stuff. What you want to do is you want to go to Goodwills in good neighborhoods,
yeah,
where they've given away the good stuff.
That's right, because the people that live in the good neighborhoods donate their things to Goodwill. It's like going to a garage sale in the Palisades.
It is, it is. And you know what? Also, there's not to diminish Goodwill, but of course, out of the closet. Also an awesome place because, quite frankly, it's an AIDS charity like a Goodwill, and all the guys who donate stuff are gay and they have really good taste. There, I said it.
No, it's true. Out of the closet. It's that big pink sign, isn't it?
I believe there are multicolors of the gay flag.
The reason why we are talking about
charity is our subject
tonight. Because
that's
our subject. Charity. That's
yes,
exactly right.
Is.
Hannes, what do you know about charity?
Nothing. I do nothing for anyone, but that is because my brother, I won't go into detail, but my brother needs as much charity as I can muster. And so other people's, you know, other people outside of 7-Eleven asking for money are way down my list.
You know, Hannes, sooner or later, you got to tell us a story about your brother. Sorry.
No, that's okay. It'll be fine.
What's the name of that topic? What's the topic of that night going to be?
Holy fuck.
No, it'll be schizophrenia.
Yes, it will.
Because he's schizophrenic.
Yes, he is.
All right. Let's move on to the subject of charity. People have asked me, Hannes, frequently, is Story Worthy a nonprofit?
And how?
No, we're not a nonprofit. However, no one is making a profit around here.
Ah, okay. That's true.
Fair enough. I do donate to the Goodwill. Do you donate to the Goodwill?
Yes, I just moved to move in with my girlfriend slash fiance, and I got rid of all sorts of stuff. And then probably if you go to the Los Feliz Goodwill, you can find my old computer, which has a lot of very embarrassing things I didn't know how to erase.
That's very funny. Now, I like how the Goodwill always has, like, the clothes are designated not by size, but by color. It's like, I need green clothes today. Green clothes? Oh, there's a round.
Right, right. I need something someone died in. That's what I think when I go to Goodwill.
I know. But I have to say, I go to Goodwill 4, 5, 6 times a year.
Yeah.
I like it.
No, Goodwill. No, all those places. Goodwill, Out of the Closet. Okay. There's other ones. They're all, I mean, it's all great because it's like everyone, you're like, I cannot believe anyone ever bought this. And the 40th thing you look at is like, oh, a mink.
Right.
For a dollar.
Exactly. Hannes, ask me about charity. Go ahead, ask.
Hey, what about charity?
We do not take charity. Jack Blackburn, 1974.
Ah, yes, your father.
I, however, have done a lot of charitable things. For instance, I was in the Peace Corps.
Yes.
You don't just do that and not be charitable. You know what I'm saying? Now, I think I want to just say something, Hannes. You and I did a show a couple of years ago. Okay, let's say it, 10 or 12. For the City of Hope. Now, this is in Duarte, California.
Yes,
it's
true.
A cancer research
Big
center.
Big time cancer research
I am a
hospital.
Cancer survivor, so I'm allowed to say this. I would produce a show out there, wouldn't we, Hannes? We'd go try to make the folks laugh.
Yes, you would go, and there would be many people in various stages of chemotherapy
right?
in the audience with their IVs.
A lot of IVs.
Really,
wheelchairs.
You know,
hospital
comedians,
gowns.
Of course, would be like, ugh. They're so distracting because comedians are so empathetic.
Yeah, no, it was tough. I mean, I like to try to give back and all that crap. But the thing is that night, do you remember I had a comedian on called Steve Benequist? You remember this boy?
Yes, I do. I haven't seen him
in
a long time.
And so he gets up on stage and he says to the 50 audience members that are, like you said, in various stages of chemotherapy, he says, you know, there's no noma like melanoma.
I do not remember this. I don't think I was
it's
there
not that
for this
funny.
Show.
It wasn't that funny, although we laughed in the back, you know.
But we're
so
scum.
The thing is it's a fine line talking about the cancer. You kind of have to have had it. You know what I mean? Or it's not so funny.
You're saying so it's kind of like the black guy using the N word.
That's right.
If you had the cancer,
right.
You can use the C word.
That's what I'm talking about.
By which I mean cancer,
all
not
right.
the other C word.
I've also performed comedy at several battered women's shelters. Did you know this, Hannes? Once again,
no,
charity.
I don't think I did.
I have done these, a couple of these. What you do is you go, you get the ladies a mani-pedi of some sort. You fuss with their hair, and then they bring out the comedians. That's where I join in. And I say some funny things like, you know, hey, where do you live? It's not funny, really. It can be funny.
It's the all in the circumstance, yeah.
It's all compared in the circumstance.
To, yes, it's all a matter of, you know, when you see a show at the Improv and there's, you know, 10 awesome comics in a row, then you go up and you tell a joke that doesn't work, you're an idiot.
Yeah,
but if
exactly.
it's like a complete night of holy shit and you go and tell one decent joke, it's like, you're a genius.
Exactly. You need to stay where you are, stay seated or in the car or running around the lake or whatever you do, and don't go anywhere because in just a few moments, we've got Justine Barron.
I want to talk about our new sponsor, Amazon.com.
Go for it, Hannes.
Well, as the folks know, you just have to click on the Amazon ads on our website, storyworthypodcast.com, and Amazon will give us a very small percentage of that purchase. And we're back. We have moved down the street to the Out of the Closet on Sunset Boulevard and Gower, and there is some awesome stuff here. There are some statuaries of young men that I think are just fantastic.
Tonight's theme, of course, is...
Charity.
Charity. That's right. We've got a wonderful storyteller here. Her name is Justine Barron. She is a writer, an actor, and an improviser. Do you know what that means, Hannes?
She does it all.
Yes, and...
She does more.
She improvises, yes, and...
She improvises.
Anyway, she's had a great show at the iOS Comedy Theater here in Hollywood.
Oh, I like and that place. They serve Miller High Life.
I know, and it's very casual. They keep the shows like $5-7, very reasonable. The parking sucks, but other than that...
Yeah, it's Hollywood.
All right, she has had an original TV pilot called Miami Vice. That sounds funny. It received acclaim and placed in several national contests. She's also appeared in various comedic web series like film and stage productions, also animated shorts and different podcasts. And she has been a Moth Story Slam winner. Do you see a through line here, Hannes?
Moth.
We always bring
story.
Back the moth, don't we?
Exactly.
Because they have good storytellers.
They got the good people.
All right, you guys, just check out JustineBarron.com or, of course, you can go to the Twitter/Justine_Emma. Ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are, start clapping now for Justine Barron.
Hi. Tina was gifted. She may have been a poor, single African-American mother and high school dropout, but she had gifts far beyond her circumstances. It was my gift as her teacher to see that in her and help her. This is a story about charity. Or it's about some really questionable behavior. I met Tina during a hot summer in the deep south in a small college town. It was the perfect backdrop for one of those stories of unexpected friends who crossed the lines of race and class, like Driving Miss Daisy.
Cool.
Or that movie with Alfre Woodard and the woman from Dances with Wolves that they show on Lifetime a lot, which has almost the exact same plot as Clara's Heart, where Whoopi Goldberg saves the white soul of Neil Patrick Harris. So we were like that. I was teaching at the Literacy Council where Tina was getting her GED and working as an intern. She wasn't technically my student. She had another teacher. We were coworkers. I think that excuses some of my behavior. We became really fast buddies. She was super smart, and she made fun of everyone, which in my mind made her a genius. We would take these long breaks, smoke cigarettes, and complain about our boss, our coworkers. Tina would talk about how dumb and illiterate most of the other students were. I didn't participate in that part of the conversation. They were my students, and most of them were technically not able to read, but I didn't question her. I didn't want to judge. I also didn't judge her when she picked on her own 5-year-old daughter, even though I didn't like it. What do I know about being a single mother? It seemed hard. Another thing, I couldn't understand everything Tina said because she had a really thick regional accent and tended to mumble and talk quickly. We hung out a lot, and I missed about 50% of it. I never asked her to repeat herself or slow down. I didn't want to sound judgmental. Okay, please note that Tina is not representative of anyone else in my life. I've met good and bad mothers with good and bad diction from all walks of life. She was just the most opposite from me that I became close with. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I don't know if my non-judgmental approach was helping Tina, but I did give her one really solid piece of advice. I told her that it would be easy for her to get her life together, go to college, get a job, do whatever she wanted to do. She just had to not get pregnant again. Mm. That was it. How hard could that be? I've never gotten pregnant.
Right.
It's not like bullets of sperm were flying in her direction or like right. she lived on a polygamous compound. So I became obsessed with wanting to rescue Tina because she was so special. I started driving her home after work, helping her run errands, whatever she needed. I wanted to help. I guess there were other things I wanted. Like she took me to the power station on hip hop night. That was really cool. She was in her full glory in the club. She let guys dance against her backside really closely. And then just when they got worked up, she would push them away.
Ew.
I thought it was cool. I wasn't that confident. I had this new boyfriend, Jeff. He was really nice. He played the banjo. But I never felt in control with him. And when I needed to express myself to him, I'd write him a poem. In September, I found out that my parents were traveling and that their house in D.C. was going to be empty. So I thought, road trip. And of course, invited Tina, not Jeff. I needed a break from Jeff. And Tina needed to leave Durham for once. You see, I was helping her. And we had a really fun educational trip in D.C. We went to a four-story reggae club and got really drunk and danced with random guys. It was, you know, special. We connected. But there was something missing. Tina wasn't conventionally pretty. She had short, boyish hair, but she had these big round eyes and bright white teeth against deep, dark skin and these adorable dimples that were like, ding. She lit up the room. If Tina was on America's Next Top Model, you wouldn't notice her the first week, but then by the end of the season, you wouldn't be able to take your eyes off of her.
Yeah.
Okay, I know how this sounds. I had to ask myself even then, am I in love with Tina? I was acting like it, driving her around, paying for things, smoking socially, all of the signs of impaired romantic judgment. Sometimes you have strong feelings for someone that isn't your usual type. So you try to picture it in fantasy, you know, making love, kissing, even if that's not your instinct. Maybe you're just trying to put confusing feelings into a container that makes sense. So I would try to think about that with Tina, go there, and I really couldn't. It was so far out of the box for me then. And we don't want to see Alfre Woodard humping the woman from Dances with Wolves. But for the sake of the story, I asked myself to be totally honest about what I really wanted from Tina because it clearly wasn't just charity. So I thought about it, and here it is, the fantasy. We would hang out in my parents' house for a full week. She would braid my hair. I would play her albums from my childhood. We'd share openly. And then at some point, I would get some canvas and magically develop some artistic skill. I would paint a series of portraits of Tina in a style that mixed bold West Indian colors with pointillism. My work would be discovered. We'd have a showing in a major gallery in New York and move into an apartment in the Village and we'd become part of this bohemian elite. We'd both have dreadlocks. We'd have husbands that were brothers from Barbados and a bunch of foster kids. Her daughter would go to NYU drama school. I think I wanted something like that and nothing else. Desire is weird. Pretty soon after our trip, Tina got a new boyfriend, this scrawny little kid, totally unworthy. I hung out with them once. She braided his gross hair. It pissed me off. She was a queen. He should have been washing her feet. We started drifting. Then I got the call. I'm pregnant, she said.
Oof.
You're pregnant? My only good advice, and she blew it? By this jerk who was already out of the picture. She told me that she needed an abortion and that it cost $350. She only had $100. I don't think I've ever given such a quick answer in my life. Don't worry, I said. I'll pay for it. I could take care of it. It's not a problem for me. There, done. Problem solved. I was helping again. Okay, major pause. Scratch the record. It's not a problem for me? Because I may have given you the impression that I was some kind of like wealthy benefactor like Miss Daisy and driving Miss Daisy. In fact, I was living off of a part-time teaching salary. My tiny grad school stipend had dried up. That PhD program I dropped out of because I couldn't pull off finishing it. And to pay for Tina's abortion, I was using a credit card with a $12,000 limit that only had $4,000 left. Because I had a compulsive habit of buying CDs and books I never read. Yeah, in a way, another $250 wouldn't have been a problem, but I probably had less actual income than Tina. I'm saying I wasn't in any position to take on a pet project and rescue someone. Sometimes I think we give extravagant gifts as a way to hold on to someone we're losing or to fill a hole. So for Christmas, to be charitable, I went all out and I bought Tina an abortion.
Oh, no!
That was helpful, right? I did feel guilty later, not because of the death of an unborn child, I don't think. Although it was creepy how quickly I went there. You know, I understand abortion is sad and scary. Maybe I felt guilty that I didn't do more for her to help her avoid that. Or I was guilty for myself, like my friendship was only worth driving people around and paying for their abortions. I took a turn after that. I started defining my relationships. You just can't take road trips with students or cuddle with gay guys because you randomly feel like it. And it's okay to pass a little judgment. Maybe I could have pulled a Tyra Banks with Tina and suggested that she work on her diction, considering her aspirations in life. Maybe that would have helped. I wish I did know what Tina wanted or needed from me, her version of the story. I'm afraid it would have been about another person promising a lot and then pulling back. More proof that she shouldn't trust people. Or maybe she'd say, hey, did I ever tell you about this really freaky white girl that I talked into taking me to DC and paying for my abortion? Some people are really stupid like that.
Wow, finally the abortion issue has been brought up, right,
Hannes? It has been brought up, and finally, by a woman who in the story is Neil Patrick Harris. So that's especially awesome to me.
Wait a minute, I don't get it.
No,
why
no,
do you
she
say
was
that?
Talking about that movie.
Oh.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah.
You know, saves it's the magic, what is the phrase? The magic Negro.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't make that up, Cornel West grid that he's a black professor at Harvard.
So
and
what
these characters, like, you know, where it's there's a black character who saves the white people.
I see.
By virtue of their wonderfulness and their hominess. And, you know, instead of being human beings, the character is like this, almost an angel that's...
Okay, but
landed.
In this case, Justine Barron, white girl, saves
yes, it's true.
Black
we
woman.
It actually all fell apart right there as I was talking about it. Let's forget I said that.
No, she saved me because she took me to clubs and she taught me, like, how to be in control with men. And, you know,
and how old were you at the time and how old was she?
I think I was, like, 23. And you know, I was that age where liberal do-gooders make big mistakes.
Right.
And then, she was probably around my age, a couple of years younger.
But where did you grow up exactly?
I grew up in DC.
Okay. Right. This sounds like DC, right?
This was in Durham, North Carolina though.
Right. And why were you going to Durham?
I was in grad school there and then I dropped out and then I started working at the Literacy Council because that seemed more
where
like,
you could really do some good.
Really do some good.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Wow. Right.
By the way, I just want to say you said maybe I should have pulled a Tyra Banks on her. You're a very nice person. I'm looking at you. You could not pull a Tyra Banks on anybody.
Unless she's talking about the daytime Tyra. Yeah. You see, you're thinking, Hannes, of the nighttime Tyra. There's two Tyras.
Oh, I've heard there's two Tyras,
daytime Tyra. Who's crazy. And then there's nighttime Tyra.
Different crazy.
Super fucking crazy.
Yeah. With the head bobbing back and forth and the finger wagging.
She is so fucking out of her mind. It is so fabulous to watch her on TV because it is like watching, not a train wreck because she only gets more and more fabulous, but because it's like watching like the most narcissistic, crazy, self-involved person in the world. She is it's unbelievable.
It is. My friend and I call things like, oh, I pulled a Tyra when, not like this, but when we make a story about ourselves.
Yes.
When someone else is saying something and then we quickly refer it to ourselves.
In other words, like one time when I did.
Right.
That would be pulling a Tyra. Right.
I know how hard it was because I was by myself in Paris when I was
19. Like,
you have cancer? This one time I did a show for people who have cancer.
That's right.
It's like,
your legs are long. I couldn't even fit into jeans when I was little. I don't know what that means.
When I was a baby. Yeah.
That's right. Why is this show called Charity? Because I was thinking maybe lesbians. See, I made her laugh. I made Justine Barron laugh. You see that, Hannes?
That's a good
She's
thing.
She's a comedian. And generally I, very straight-laced, middle American. My breakdown, pretty, but average. And I like that breakdown. My point is usually I can't make the young and the hip laugh. And I just made her laugh.
Well, when you accuse them of being lesbians and they're frightened in the back of their head, that's you get the uncomfortable laugh. It worked out very well. Nice work.
To answer your question, I have a whole other pile of lesbian stories. So.
Awesome.
This belongs in its own category.
Oh, yeah. I'd love that.
All right, we're going to put that on the wheel.
That music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game show where contestants spin the story-worthy wheel of truth and tell a true one-minute story on the topic they land.
So everyone, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
Pets!
Okay, well, I'm really allergic. And so I got a hamster when everyone else had cats and dogs. How much time do I have?
One minute.
Oh my God. This hamster was hell bent on not loving me and it lived to escape.
Fucking hamsters.
It lived to escape. We put it in a metal cage and all it did all day was spend the whole day strategically climbing up its wheel, holding it steady so that it could move the lock with its nose. And if I put books on top, it would spend all night moving its head back and forth and it always got away. So then we got this long plastic cage and it escaped all of that. Like it just lived to run and it scared me. And so what I did was I put it in the freezer. And when I took it out, it was like in shock. And for like 2 minutes, I was able to connect with this animal because it wasn't running away from me.
Can I just say you're asking my charity? Because I think it's a great name for this because you thought you were doing charity.
Yeah.
But really, you probably weren't helping her. Because
she didn't learn from
your, like, by the way, the phrase, bullets of sperm. That's awesome. You said there were not bullets of sperm coming at her. I'm like, that's the greatest phrase
I've ever heard. Honest is going to use that phrase with his fiance, and I'm freaking the fuck out
right now. Yeah, exactly. That's good. That's actually going to be the theme of our reception.
Look out, honey. Here comes my bullet of sperm.
Bullets of sperm, exactly.
That's so wrong.
You were trying to help her, but she was not listening.
I don't know.
You didn't.
She got the abortion.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she didn't listen to her in the first place. She said, whatever you do.
My one good advice.
Don't get pregnant.
Right.
And it's like the one thing you can do to make your life not suck more is not get pregnant. And that's exactly what she did.
There were so many more things I could have done for her, you know.
And like what?
I mean, I could have like talked to her about how she speaks cotton, her ready for job interviews. I don't know.
She speaks cotton? What?
She just had trouble with diction and talking.
How she speaks, comma, gotten her ready for job interviews.
Oh, I see. Speaking clearly.
Speaking of speaking. But yeah, there were a lot of things I could have done for her. I just didn't have the confidence to be like a teacher role.
Well, you also weren't a psychiatrist or a social worker. Right. You were 23 and you were just
No, I think that there is not any more you could have done with her. Because you told her, you actually pinpointed it. You told her the one thing she shouldn't do, and you were right.
All right.
The one thing, it's not that she could never get a job because she has bad diction. She could get a job because it doesn't matter. There are people out there, you know, she'd frankly be working in an airport somewhere patting somebody down right now. But it's like, don't have another kid is exactly the right advice. And unfortunately, I'm pretty sure she got pregnant within a year of you paying for that abortion.
Oh my gosh.
Don't say that, Hannes.
Oh, you know it's true.
But the thing is nobody ever, there's no such thing as pro-abortion. Nobody wants to get an abortion.
Yeah, nobody's happy about it.
There's no such thing as a good thing and a good abortion. Obviously, it comes down to choice. But for someone like that, it's unfortunate that maybe you couldn't have paid for like a sterilization. I'm sorry, Tara.
I don't know. I think I just seriously wanted to be her buddy, you know?
Ladies and gentlemen, Justine Barron is a good person. All right, you guys, this has been a lot of fun. Thanks for coming, Justine. We certainly appreciate it. And so let's wrap it up. On behalf of Justine Barron, our guest storyteller tonight, and of course, Jorge Reyes, our sound engineer, and from Hannes Finney, my dear, dear co-host, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Christine Blackburn saying, make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. If you have a 5-minute story that is worthy, send us an email at info@storyworthypodcast.com and you may be on the next Storyworthy. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.